Well, welcome everybody to the Voices of Courage show. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. So good to have you today. You know, I've got some thoughts today that maybe you have too. You know, I think you might have had to have been living under a rock if you don't realize that this planet is going through a lot of change, and some of that change isn't the greatest. I mean, I watch the videos, I'm sure, just like you do, where we're having, you know, we still got wars in Ukraine. Military powers jockeying for position around the world. We've got oceans that are polluted. We've got children that are starving. We've got homeless challenges. We've got healthcare challenges. 40%, I just saw the latest statistics of obese men in the country, in our country, United States. I'm sure it's many other countries around the world are going through this. You know, why is this, man? Why is this all going on right now? You know, it seems to be getting a lot lighter at many, many ways. It also seems to be getting a lot darker in some ways, and actually many ways there too. So it seems like it's going up and going down at the same time. But at some point in time, I think all of us have to make a choice. We have to make a choice with our what we buy, how we show up in life, how we are either empowered or disempowered. We need to make choices that are going to be the beneficial to all humanity, not just our own needs. And I think that a lot of us have to wake up out of this and start thinking, you know, am I living in delusion? Am I living in an illusion? And I think things are one way, but they're not. You know, this show is all about helping you to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. But if you continue to just walk through life with your eyes kind of sleepwalking and you're not awake, then this is a challenge for all of us. So today, I'm bringing on a very special guest to maybe help you have the courage to see things differently, to be able to have the courage to awaken that divinity, that power, that spark of the universe that's within you, and be able to maybe take your life and uplift it, upshift it to a new level so that you're part of the solution, no longer part of the problem. All right, I'm going to take a break, then I'm going to introduce my very special guest. We'll be right back.
Are you over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days? I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. Call now for this free book on maximizing your income in retirement. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers from leading financial firm J.D. Melberg. That's right, free. This book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we're about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known truths we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity, and it's free.
Call 800-615-2282.
As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report. We researched numerous products and summarized rates and benefits of annuities, all from SILAC Insurance Company.
Call 800-615-2282. That's 800-615-2282.
Call now.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
This right here is confidence in a bottle.
Makes me feel so much more confident than I've ever felt in my life. they are some of the hottest videos on social media, those videos claiming to instantly get rid of bags under your eyes. Annette Figueroa is here to tell us why she says this one is for real.
This one is for real, and I'm so excited. Not only does it work on the bags, it works on the appearance of crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles. We even have a video, and all he uses is a small amount, and that's how easy it is. And I did this to my father. We were at home, 4 minutes, 34 seconds, completely gone.
My real true opinion is holy words I can't say on camera. This is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I could feel it just lifting my skin. It was amazing. It feels good. Feels great. Looks even better.
At our $14.95 price, it's the best way to try Plexiderm and see it work after your first application. Call the number on your screen.
Call 800-830-1358.
Are you ready to uplift your thinking, redefine what's possible, and have the energy, passion, and power to accomplish your greatest dreams? Hi, this is Ken D. Foster. For 28 years, I've coached over 10,000 people to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Now, I've put the time-tested wisdom principles into my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. This book changes your thinking as you read it. It's time to change it deep inside. You know this. So come on, expand what's possible. Increase your courage. Step into your destiny. And order today at CourageToChange.us. That's CourageToChange.us. When you order today, you'll receive a personalized coaching session with me. Obviously, this is a limited offer. So why wait? Change for the better and order now at CourageToChange.us.
Are you feeling stuck or in a holding pattern with your business or life, and you're not doing the things you want or love? Then at some point, you're going to be faced with a decision. You'll either choose to keep living in your comfort zone and risk a life of mediocrity, or increase your courage, step into your power, and forge into the unknown, where everything new becomes possible. If you're truly ready to live masterfully, then you need Ken D. Foster's newest book, The Courage to Change Everything, Strategies and Wisdom to Transform Your Life One Day at a Time. This powerful but simple guide provides you with 365 days of life-transforming wisdom, profound questions, and action steps that will increase your strength and open the doors to success. Stop wondering why your business or life isn't working. The answers are available now. Imagine if you had more courage or another chance to start following your dreams. To pick up your copy of The Courage to Change Everything, visit thecouragetochangeeverything.com. That's thecouragetochangeeverything.com.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's your host, Ken D. Foster. My very special guest is Neil Donald Walsh today. Hi, Neil. It's great to have you.
Hello, Ken. Thank you for the opportunity to share this time with you. It's lovely to be here.
You know, it's such a blessing to have you. And for those of you that don't know Neil, let me give him a little formal introduction. Neil Donald Walsh is the author of 29 books. He's a modern-day spiritual messenger whose words have touched the world in profound ways, myself included. With an early interest in religion and deeply feeling a connection to spirituality, Neil spent the majority of his life thriving professionally, yet searching for spiritual meaning before he's started to experience his now famous Conversation with God. The Conversations with God series of books that emerged from those encounters have been translated now into 37 languages, touching millions and inspiring important changes in how we live day to day. Neil, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Those are very sweet words, and I appreciate the introduction. Thank you very much.
Well, Neil, you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, we are seem to be on a verge. We just seem to be on a verge, humanity does, of uplifting the society or going the other way. What say you as to what do we need to do to maybe upshift ourselves here, up-level ourselves, our thinking here, so that we can start to thrive in different ways that everybody's included instead of just a few?
Ken, I think we need to decide who we are and why we're here. I think these are two essential questions that many people go through their lives without asking themselves, or at least without, I mean, really seriously exploring those questions. So, and they're questions that were never put to me in those terms as a child, certainly not as a child, and not even as a young man. It wasn't until I was, golly, in my late 40s, my early 50s, that I began encountering those two questions. Who am I and why am I here? So I think what we need to do, to put it in terms that you've just laid out here, is we need to ask ourselves those questions and then give ourselves the answers that feel true to us. Who am I and why am I here? If I could offer you, go ahead, please.
Well, I was just going to comment. I think when people ask, who am I, especially in this country, a lot of times they come back with the answer, well, I'm my accomplishments. I'm what my things. This is who I am. This is obviously what I'm about.
Yes, I do think that many people feel that way. The question for me, excuse me, the question for me feels larger than that. To me, the question feels like, wait a minute, am I this? That is to say, am I my body and my mind? Is this who I am? Am I really not much different, except perhaps in levels of complexity, but other than that, not much different from other life forms? You know, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea. Am I simply another biological life form living on the face of the earth? Or is it possible, just possible, that I'm more than that? Is it possible that I am, dare I say it, a spiritual entity, having a body and having a mind? But is it possible that this is not who I am, that these are simply pieces of equipment that who I really am uses to complete its agenda? If that were true, if we embraced that notion as our reality, it would change everything about the way we act, about the way we react to others, about the way we move through our lives, and certainly about the way we are collectively experiencing our reality here on Earth. So I'm going to suggest that the solution to the problems that are now facing humanity is right in front of us. We simply have to redefine who we are and who and what we imagine this thing that some people call God is, and why are we here? That's the second question. Who am I? And why are we here? I'm certainly not here for the reasons that I thought I was here when I was a young man. You know, when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, in my late teenage years, I thought my job, you know, that I was here, or at least what I wanted to do, was, you know, get the girl, get the car, not necessarily in that order, get the job, finally maybe get the spouse, get the house, get the kids, get my name on the door of to my office, get him on the building, be on the side of the building in the corner. Like you said earlier, all the accomplishments. Yeah. Get this and get that. Get the new car. Get the better house. Get the better job. Get the better spouse. Get the better spouse. Get the better spouse. And on we go, gathering all the things that I thought I needed to gather in order to be happy and in order to have a, if you please, successful life. That's what I thought life was about when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, and I carried a lot of that thought, frankly, deep into my 20s and my 30s as well. It really wasn't until I got into my mid-40s, I guess that's the time it hits many people, is somewhere in between 30 and 40, we wake up and saying, wait a minute. There's got to be more than this. There's got to be, there's something going. One of my father used to say, son, there's more here than meets the eye. Or as Shakespeare put it beautifully in Hamlet, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. So, well, I began to encounter the possibility that that was true, that there's more going on here than meets the eye. I had to ask myself, what more is there? Because my life, frankly, even though I had professional success, you know, I did well in my opening profession as a radio announcer. I did well in my second profession as a newspaper reporter and editorial writer. And I was doing well in my life. I wasn't getting rich, but I wasn't looking for my next meal. I was totally okay. By the way, I should explain to the audience that I have understood what it is like to be looking for your next meal, because later in life, sadly, when I was much, much older, I did wind up living on the street, on the sidewalk, for a year of my life, where I was looking for my next meal. I have no job. I have no income of any kind. I was sleeping on the concrete and going from one person to the other on the sidewalk with my hand out, asking, could you have anything to offer, anything would help, even a quarter, even a half dollar. And I had some people look at me, oh, get a job, as if it was that easy for me to do so. I didn't smell well. My hair was as low as my shoulders. You know, I hadn't changed clothes. I didn't have any clothes to change into. I had one pair of shoes, two pair of jeans, two shirts, and that was it. Living on the sidewalk because of the life events that turned out and caused that to happen.
Yeah, you know, I've got to take a break. But when I come back, I'm very curious as to, I'm sure my audience is too, as the cause, because you're thriving. Yeah, yeah. You said you're not doing, you know, maybe not be a multimillionaire at that time, but you're taking care of yourself. You're taking care of business, and then all of a sudden, you end up in a homeless situation. I'm just wondering what the cause is. So I'm going to take a break. We'll come back.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar four more times per day and injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $299 a pair. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $299. Plus, we'll add in a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $299. So call now.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Everybody wants a whiter smile because having white teeth projects confidence and attractiveness. Power Swabs is as easy as snap, swab, and smile. You'll notice two shades whiter teeth in 5 minutes and six shades in 7 days.
The thing I love about Power Swabs is the convenience. Break it open, just rub it on your teeth, and you're done.
So I noticed I have a lot more stains on the sides. So with the Power Swab, I was able to go in there and it really did work.
Just snap the stain out swab to remove stains from natural teeth as well as caps, crowns, and veneers. Then snap the whitening swab to whiten your teeth six shades in 7 days. With Power Swabs, there's no messy strips, trays, or lights.
Having shades lighter on my teeth in such a short period of time, it almost feels like cheating.
Try Power Swabs today and get 50% off your order. Plus, get a free quick stick pen and free shipping. Visit powerswabs.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I'm here with guest Neil Donald Walsh, the best-selling author of the Conversations with God books. Neil, we're talking about the cause of going homeless. What would you say was your cause?
Well, I was hit by the triple whammy, what I call the triple whammy in life, Ken, at one stage of my life. My relationship with my wife, a wonderful lady, all my fault, I knew. Nevertheless, the relationship ended, and I agreed. You know, we had an amicable conclusion to our marriage, but I agreed to move out and, you know, find a little apartment, and I would, you know, we would go our separate ways. But within 5 days of my losing that relationship, I lost my job. I was a nationally syndicated talk show host on the radio. But the corporation that I worked for was losing money, and they had to, you know, cut some overhead. We call that in America downsizing. They had to downsize the corporation. And I was the latest hire. So I was last person in, first person out. I had no seniority. So out I was. Now, so I'm out of a relationship and out of job in the same five-day period. 4 days later, I'm driving down the road to a reception, to an interview, really. Interview for my next job. Hopefully what would be my next job. And I was really excited about the opportunity because it looked like something I could, you know, talk myself into and get another good job. No, didn't happen that way. An elderly gentleman turned his car in front of me, decided to make a left turn as I was going straight ahead. And he misjudged the distance between our two cars and smashed right into me. I mean, he smashed into the side of me, into the driver's side. And it was a terrible wreck. And it broke my neck. I wound up with a broken neck. Not a hairline fracture, a 3/4 inch avulsion fracture of the 7 cervical vertebrae posteriorly. Ken, that's a break in your neck big enough to put a pencil through. When I got to the hospital, you know, the doctor looked at me and he said, I'm on the table, of course. He looks down at me and he says, you understand that when people have this kind of a fracture in their neck, they generally die. Or at the very least, they wind up compromised to the point where you have, you know, paralysis from the neck down because of spinal cord complications. You've escaped both of those consequences. You're 1 in 1,000.
Wow.
He looked at me and he said, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? I said, well, that's a good question. I've just been trying to figure that out. He said, we'll give it some thought. Well, you know, I wound up finally getting, you know, back into the little apartment that I found. But I had no way of earning money because now I'm wearing a Philadelphia collar, which is called a Philadelphia collar. It's a therapeutic device that holds your head up. He said, the doctor said, Neil, think of a basketball being held on the head of a pin. That's what's going on right now. You have nothing supporting your head. So do not take this collar off for any reason whatsoever. Not to shower, not to sleep, not to make love. Do not take the collar off for any reason whatsoever. I said, okay, I got it. So I'm going to these, you know, interviews and nobody's hiring me, even though I had qualifications right and left. Finally, one guy was honest enough to tell me, Neil, nobody's going to hire you with that contraption around your neck. It's a therapeutic device. You make one wrong move and re-injure yourself, and we're paying your hospital bills for the next 6 years. We can't hire you in that condition. Come back and see us when you've healed this situation. So I couldn't find a job anywhere. I was kicked out of my apartment, finally. You know, the landlord gave me as much time as he could, but he said, I got to ask you to leave because I couldn't pay the rent because I had no income. I ran out of my savings. There I was with no money, no savings, no income, no place to live. I'm out on the street. I'm not a young man. I'm not like 25 or 32 or whatever. You know, maybe I could deal with it. I'm in my 50s. I'm 53 years old. And I'm thinking, whoa, wait a minute. How is this possible? I'm literally, oh, it's okay. It'll just be a couple of bad weeks. Maybe a bad month or two. I can make it. I can do this. Ken, it was a year, a solid year, 2 weeks shy of 1 year. I was living on the outside, begging for a dime or a dollar, learning what it was like to have no dignity left at all, having no place to relieve myself, having to sneak into the back of restaurants to see if I could, you know, maybe use the men's room when no one was, you know, watching where I was going and the restaurant managers, they would throw you out if they saw the way I looked, of course. As I said, my hair, I couldn't get a haircut. I couldn't even shampoo my hair. I was, you know, I hadn't had a shower in months. So, of course, I was obviously a street person. They were throwing me out of even restaurants. I finally had to beg somebody, please, please. I need just 7 minutes. I need to use a bathroom.
Wow. Okay, there's a good, there's a turnaround here somewhere now. So what, did God speak to you? How did you all of a sudden, and maybe it wasn't all of a sudden, how did this unfold so that you step back into a new life?
I finally got a little weekend job at a radio station as a weekend fill-in announcer. Because the regular guys, you know, were off the air on weekends. They were looking for somebody to do weekend work. And in the broadcast business, you couldn't find anybody with experience, on-the-air experience, to do just weekend work. So they were hiring kids, to training them to try to be on the air. I walked in, and I was a program director's dream. I would go with 35 years experience in broadcasting. But I didn't have a job. He said, I can give you a weekend gig if you want to take a weekend job. And then the first thing that opens up on a full-time basis, it's yours. I said, I'm in. So I got that little weekend job. I wasn't making a lot of money in those. I got, now this is 35, 40 years ago, but I was giving $50 a day, $100 a weekend. So I was making $400 a month, which is more than it is today. But nevertheless, it was enough for me to afford a little above-the-garage studio apartment in somebody's backyard. And I at least got in out of the weather. And that's, Ken, when I changed my life, because I woke up one morning after being in that little apartment for a couple of months. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning thinking, what does it take to make life work? What have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? Come on, I'm into my 50s. I should have this figured out by now. What's going on? And so I went out, you know, to the secondary area of my little apartment. It had only two rooms. A bedroom and a large all-purpose room. And I'm sitting there in the all-purpose room, sitting on a little used couch that I found at Goodwill somewhere, and writing an angry letter to God. I had a yellow legal pad on the coffee table for the grocery lists and so forth. And I pick up the yellow legal pad and I start writing an angry letter to God with those same questions. Okay, God, what does it take to make life work? What's going on? Is there something? Give me the rules. I'll play. I promise I'll play. Just give me the rules. I'm just writing this. I don't know who I thought I was going to send this letter to. I'm just writing this angry letter to the universe, you know, to God. But Ken, I heard a voice. I heard a voice. At first, I thought it was actually in the room behind me. I turned around. Of course, there's nobody there. Now I'm thinking, oh, great. In addition to everything else, I'm losing my mind. But I began hearing words in my head, in my mind. Thoughts that were coming to me, if you please. But the first thought that I heard clearly was, Neil, do you really want answers to all these questions? Or are you just venting? I remember thinking, I am venting. You think? If you've got answers, I'd sure as hell like to know what they are. And the voice said to me, wouldn't you rather be sure as heaven? You're sure as hell upon a lot of things. Wouldn't you rather be sure as heaven? I remember writing on a legal pad, what's that supposed to mean?
Well, that's a wrap today. And I hope you continue to seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given unto you. Know and you will find the reason for living. Till we meet next time, this is Ken Foster. Take care. Did you realize at that time that wasn't your voice? You know, that comment, yeah, like, do you want it? Yeah, I think that comment would have had the question.
No, there was no question that it was not me. But I didn't stop to think for a little bit, you know, where is this coming from? I just let it happen until maybe, oh, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes into the process. Then I thought, what's going on here? Where is this coming from? And I began really in my trafficking with the devil. There won't much happen. But I began receiving, I want to say, responses to the questions that arose as my dialogue continued. Because I had found myself suddenly in a dialogue, actually, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, all on paper. I'm writing down my questions as well, because I didn't want to forget, you know, what I was asking. And I got the answer. And as this dialogue continued, I realized, no. These responses are coming from someplace. Wow. Filled with wisdom, love, clarity, understanding, compassion. And the conversation look possible. I even asked. That was, of course, this was very early in the experience. I'm like, wound up being in the printed book somewhere around page 20 of 3,000 pages. But on page 20, I said something about, what's going on here? What's happening? Why are you talking to me? The answer I got was, I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not, to whom am I talking? The question is, who's listening?
So you had got,
so I began probably,
you were in a state, what I'm guessing is that you were in a state to be able to listen at this point. Maybe earlier on, you'd just be going through life with a busy mind and just going, but you had simplified your life to the point that you could actually hear, is what I'm guessing.
Well, yeah, my life had been simplified for me.
Yeah.
In a way
was
that you're right.
Was that your destiny in you, or was that, you know, was that, what, have you, I'm sure you reflected back, you know, that homeless part, was that a preparation? What was that? What was that when you look back and you go, what happened here?
I'm going to step away from the idea of destiny, because destiny and free will are mutually exclusive. You can't have destiny. You need to have free will. So I'm going to remove destiny from the idea. I think that, however, on a moment-to-moment basis, I was creating at a probably subconscious or unconscious level the outcomes that were occurring in my physical life. And as those outcomes were occurring, I was then responding to them, first of all, reacting, and then ultimately creating. I replaced reaction with creation. I began to learn, as a result of my early conversation with God, how to move from reaction to creation in the expansion of my personal physical experience. But I'm not going to say it was destiny, but I am able to say, I'm sure I'm glad it happened. It's what it is. I'm not the first person, by the way, to have had an experience that many people have thought, oh, that's the worst thing that could possibly happen to me, only to find out a couple of weeks or a couple of months, or maybe a year or two later, that it was one of the best things I've ever had. I wouldn't have traded that year on the sidewalk for anything in the world. What it taught me about myself, about life, about other people.
You know, that's an interesting point. I got to take a break. When we come back there, you know, this. I think I read lately it's 10,000 people a day right now, I think it's worldwide, are having near-death experiences where they're actually going to the other side, remembering, coming back. Do we have to die? Do we have to go homeless to listen to God? I'll be right back. We'll answer that when we'll come back.
Are you over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days? I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. Call now for this free book on maximizing your income in retirement. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers from leading financial firm J.D. Melberg. That's right, free. This book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now. because we're about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known truths we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity, and it's free.
Call 800-615-2282.
As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report. We researched numerous products and summarized rates and benefits of annuities, all from SILAC Insurance Company.
Call 800-615-2282. That's 800-615-2282.
Call now.
Imagine, this is your money, and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money, and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash, and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
This right here is confidence in a bottle.
Makes me feel so much more confident than I've ever felt in my life.
They are some of the hottest videos on social media. Those videos claiming to instantly get rid of bags under your eyes. Annette Figueroa is here to tell us why she says this one is for real.
This one is for real, and I'm so excited. Not only does it work on the bags, it works on the appearance of crow's feet, fine lines, and wrinkles. We even have a video, and all he uses is a small amount, and that's how easy it is. And I did this to my father. We were at home. 4 minutes, 34 seconds, completely gone.
My real true opinion is holy words I can't say on camera. This is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, I could feel it just lifting my skin. It was amazing. It feels good. Feels great. Looks even better.
At our $14.95 price, it's the best way to try Plexaderm and see it work after your first application. Call the number on your screen.
Call 800-830-1358.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and I'm talking with the spiritual teacher and leader, a transformational leader, I would say, and also a best-selling author, Neil Donald Walsh, with Conversation with God books. So many people have read, millions around the world. So let's answer that question. You know, there's a lot of people that seem to have to go through deep trauma to get in touch, to start hearing that voice. Why is that?
I'd like to back up about 5 seconds and change a word that you used when you talked about me just a moment ago. You called me a spiritual teacher. Please, if I could set aside that title, I want people who are watching me to hear me tell you. I'm very clear I'm not a teacher of any kind. I do not teach. I'm a messenger. If someone said spiritual messenger, that is, I'm carrying a message that has been given to me to share with others. Fair enough, but I'm not a teacher. I'm still trying to learn. I'm a learner, that I'm a student, but not a teacher. But I am studying, as many people are, the messages that I received and that I was invited to share in my conversations with God. Before we answer the question you asked, and let me also add this postscript. Many people say, well, you know, how did it become a book? If you weren't writing a book, if you weren't trying to, you know, to make lots of money and write a book, how did it ever get between the covers of a book? I was told in the dialogue, you will one day make of this a book, and it will be accessed by many people. And I remember thinking in that moment, ha, 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 now I gotcha, because that's not going to happen. That's, come on. If that happens, then I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to really get that I really am talking to God, because there's no publisher in the country that's going to publish this handwritten notes from a guy out there in Oregon who says he's talking to God. I mean, I can just see the publisher walking out to the workroom floor saying to his editors, hold the presses, stop everything. I got a guy here who's talking to God. It's not going to happen. Nobody's going to publish this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I sent it to a small publisher on the East Coast of the United States just to see what would happen. The rest, as they say, is publishing history. The guy published the book, and it wound up being translated into 37 languages and selling in the millions. Not bragging, just saying it, around the world. So that's how it came to be a book. Now, to look at your question, it's been made very clear to me, of course, we don't have to be, you know, at the end of the line, having reached the bottom of the barrel, facing an unbelievably bad, horrible situation, in order to have what I would call communication with or from the divine, to be connected to God itself, to the essential essence of life. Well, that's not necessary. But for some people who are as obstinate as I am, a 2x4 over the head is what it takes. That's what it took for me, because I wasn't really into what I was hearing religions tell me about God. I wasn't into what I heard some others speak to me about God. I didn't get it. I didn't buy into it. So I wasn't even sure at that point in my life that there was a God, because if there was a God, what was I doing living on the street for a year with my talent and my incredible good looks and my incredible mind? I should think to myself, okay, maybe I'm not at the top of the heap in all those departments, but come on. Yeah, I obeyed all the rules. Can I obey all the rules? By the time I was a young man, until the time I was 50, I did what I was told. I paid my dues. I didn't,
right.
Didn't deliberately hurt or try to harm anybody. But, you know, what's going on? Somebody, like as I said earlier, tell me the rules. I'll play the game. Just give me the damn rule book. And that's where I was coming from.
Well, there's a, you know,
you do not have to be at the bottom of the barrel in order to have that kind of a conversation.
You know, you said something that I find very interesting. And, you know, I've written several books myself. And it seems like I don't necessarily write the books. The books kind of write me. And then I go back and I study them, just like you just said. You study the teachings that came through you, which I find that very interesting. So those teachings that came through you, my next question is around reincarnation. And I don't remember or not, I've read a lot of the your work. I don't remember on the subject of reincarnation, what the message was there. Do you recall how that?
Yes, of course. I couldn't. Yes, of course I recall. I couldn't forget.
Yeah.
I hardly forget any of the conversation, but I was told, my understanding is that, of course, we reincarnate. We have more than one physical lifetime. In fact, I was told that I had, I think, 635, whatever it was, lifetimes throughout, you know, the history of my soul. And not all of them, incidentally, not all of them on this planet. I was told I had some reincarnations elsewhere in the cosmos. And that explained to me, by the way, when I heard that, why I could sometimes, on a clear summer night with no clouds in the sky, looking at the beautiful canopy above me, and sometimes feel homesick. I would look at certain areas of the sky with a small tear that would come down my face, and I'd think. And I remember my darling wife asked me one night, "Honey, what are you crying about? The beauty of the stars?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's an awesomely beautiful canopy, but really what's bringing the tear to my eye is I feel homesick.
Yeah.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to go back and be there again." So I'm pretty clear that I, and probably all of us, have had many lifetimes, not all of which were here in this physical environment, but all of which were in the realm of the physical, which is as large as the cosmos itself. Now, the question is, why? Why would we choose to reincarnate over and over again? Why wouldn't we just stay in the realm of the spiritual, where things are supposed to be heavenly? And that, of course, is the central question that I asked in my conversation with God. And I was told, Neil, it's really very simple. in heaven, things are in fact heavenly. I mean, there's nothing but love. There's no time. It's always here and now. There's only one moment. And so it's just an experience of total love here and now. It's heaven. But that's not enough for the human soul. The soul wishes to not just know who it is and what it is, pure love. The soul wishes to experience itself through the expression of its identity. And that is why I mean God. God's talking to me, and that's why I created the realm of the physical, the cosmos, if you please. Because in the physical realm, there exists what does not exist in what you would call heaven, which is that which is opposite what you are. So if you want to experience yourself as, let's just say, big, no. You'd have to go to some place where there was a thing called small, or you wouldn't know yourself as big. If you want to experience yourself as fast, you have to go to some place where there's such a thing as slow, or you couldn't experience yourself as being fast. And to use a really interesting metaphor, if you want to experience yourself as light, I am the light. If you want to just know that and also experiencing it, not only know it, but be able to express it, you'd have to go to some place where there was what you would call the darkness. Because only in the experience of the darkness could the experience of you being the light be part of your reality. Therefore, judge not. Raise not your fist to heaven, and judge the darkness not, but be a light unto the darkness, that you might know who you really are, and that all those whose lives you touch might know who they really are as well. It's that short explanation. Suddenly, it made sense to my mind. I got it. I thought, wow, that's why not only I came here to the realm of the physical, but continue to come here as I wish to enlarge and expand my experience of my true identity, which leads to the question, what is your true identity? And I ask God, okay, what is this true identity that I'm trying to experience in the realm of the physical? God said, oh, no one's told you? No one down there told you? Neil, you are an individuation of divinity, an individual expression of the only thing there is, which is, God says to me. So you're an individual expression of the divine. Now, of course, if you don't know that, or if you don't believe it, you're not going to experience it. You're not going to act it out. But if you do know it and you do believe it, you'll need a place where you can act it out. That's why you keep returning to the realm of the physical, so that you can be this thing that we would call, in one word, evolve.
Okay, and listen, I got to take another break. We come back. What do the messages say about creating heaven on earth? I hear that a lot. We want to create heaven on earth, and we're going into higher ages. This is a low age. We're going to be higher ages. I'd like to speak to that a little bit, and then I want to wrap it up, tying us right back into what we started with. How can we make individual changes to make this place a better place? We'll be right back.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Not only can a CGM immediately reduce pain, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. We'll also provide free shipping of your new CGM, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. If you are testing your blood sugar 4 more times per day and injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call now and learn how to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Do you listen to the TV on high volume or have trouble hearing conversations? Then you would benefit from hearing aids. Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $299 a pair. Don't be fooled by higher-priced hearing aids. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $299. Plus, we'll add in a portable charging dock and ship your order absolutely free. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $299. So call now.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. Are you in a place that you would like to unleash the power within your mind? I teach a class. It's called The Limitless Experience. This is about intentional living. It's a great opportunity to learn how to operate your mind efficiently, expand your knowledge, tap into your inner wisdom, and connect with like-minded individuals who are evolving and making a difference in this world. This class is designed to help you unlock your true potential and achieve success in all areas of your life. By attending this class, you will gain valuable insights into your life purpose, legacy, how to get unstuck, how to break chronic patterns that are stopping your success, overcome limiting beliefs, and develop a positive mindset that will help you achieve your goals. I hope to see you soon at the Limitless Experience. Hi, this is your host, Ken D. Foster. I'm speaking with spiritual messenger, Neil Donald Walsh, and today we're talking about what kind of changes we can make to make this planet a little better place, to step it up, to become all that we were meant to be, to evolve, to grow, to step into that divinity that Neil's been talking about. So if that's you and you'd like to really step it into the next level, then I hope one of the things you'll do is to bring a few people along with you, right? If you like this conversation, please let your family and friends know about this conversation. This is an important conversation that I think we can have, not only family and friends, but you know, our children, and of course that's part of your family, but those that, you know, may really be ready to hear the messages of truth and hope and courage and love so that they can uplift their lives also. Also, while I'm here, I'd like to mention that we are broadcast right now in about 185 countries. And so wherever you are, if you just tell your local Google or Chrome or Apple, you know, Siri, Cortana, Alexa, to play Voices of Courage podcast, it'll come right up for you. Also, I want to thank a few of my sponsors, E360 TV, UK Health Network, and BBS Radio, Flix TV, Las Vegas TV, and who else? There's one more, AM FM 247 across the country. I want to just thank all of you for being part of this amazing broadcast and helping us get this message into the world. All righty. Well, listen, we are wrapping up here, and I want to let you know that Neil will be back here in just a second to wrap up his closing thoughts around this podcast today. And again, I want to thank all of you for being here, stepping up to the next level for yourselves. So, all righty. So, gonna bring Neil back on right now. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. We're gonna wrap this up with Neil Donald Walsh. Neil, we're just that last question: can we create heaven on earth? And You know, we talk about people talk about higher ages, going into higher ages. I just wonder what the messages from conversations with God would say about that.
Well, I put those answers in a book called The God Solution, which is the latest book that I have written. And by the way, I'm happy to send a copy of that book, upload a copy at no cost to anybody who wants one. Just send me an email to neil@neildonaldwalsh.com, and I will upload that book to you to read at no cost. Because in The God Solution, I answer that very question. What would it take to create heaven on earth? And the answer is, we need to redefine, Ken, who we are, why we're here, and most important of all, offer ourselves and offer our species a brand new definition of God. So we're going to propose, as the answer to your question, that humanity redefine God as pure love. Once we decide that all of, and by the way, incidentally, that's a definition that all the world's 4,200 religions can agree on. But almost always somebody stands up in the back of a room when I'm talking to a large crowd and they'll say, oh, Neil, have I been listening to you all this time for you to tell me that God is love? And I have to tell them that that's not what I said. I said God is pure love. And my questioner will then say, all right, what's the difference? The difference is that pure love needs, expects, requires, and demands nothing in return. If we can believe in a God who doesn't demand anything in return, who doesn't judge us, condemn us, or punish us when he doesn't get what we think that God needs to get in return for his love, we can believe in that kind of a God, we will have embraced a theological revolution that would change everything, politics, our social economies, our society's interactions with different races and creeds and different generations, different senses, and spirituality itself. It would change everything on the planet overnight because we begin to treat each other with pure love. That is, we would ask nothing of the other person that they do not want to freely and openly and lovingly give us. We would take nothing from them by force, and we would treat others the way we would like to be treated. Or as the guy said a couple of thousand years ago, do unto others as you would have it done unto you. That becomes the question. What would it take to create heaven on earth? It's really very simple.
I love that. All right. Well, I think I've got so many more questions. And of course, we're out of time, Neil. We started with this, what can we do to maybe make the shift within our own selves? I think you've answered that in several ways. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience today?
I ask God, what is the single most important message that you would like me to really embrace? And she said, Neil, the most important message is this. You asked me what it would take to make life work. Here's the answer in a couple of sentences. Neil, your life is not about you. It's about everyone whose life you touch and the way in which you touch.
Neil Donald Walsh, thank you so much for being here today. I can tell you, you've touched my life in many ways over many years, and I thank you for that. And I hope you'll come back someday and grace us with your wisdom one more time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken. Lovely to be here with you. I appreciate the opportunity. Bye for now.
Well, that's a wrap today. And I hope you continue to seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given unto you. Know and you will find the reason for living. Till we meet next time, this is Ken Foster. Take care.